We're going to be studying the morale on the psukim that describe Avram eschewing any spoils of the war. In the war of the four kings against the five kings, the war in which the four kings prevailed, and Sodom and his cohorts were taken captive and defeated, Avram engaged in order to free his beloved nephew Lot, and in the process freed Melech Sodom, and was able to restore Sodom and the wealth of Sodom. Melech Sodom says to Avram, "Tain li hanefesh v'haruchush kachloch." He says, "Give me all of the people, so that I can have my people back and I'll lead them, and those who I can again enslave, I'll enslave. You take the possessions, the spoils of war, for yourself." Vayemer Avram el Melech Sodom, "Hari meisi yodi el Hashem ke'el elyon koinei shemayim v'aretz." He takes a solemn oath. "Im michut v'ad tzroch na'al v'imakach mikol asher loch." I won't take so much of as a thread or a shoe strap. "V'loy soymar ani he'esharti es Avram." You will not be able to say that you made Avram wealthy. So the fact that he didn't want any of the spoils of war, it's really remarkable and commendable. We have to know that according to not only the traditions in most of the world, but according to halacha, if somebody's defeated, the act which is spoils of war, taken away from them, even illegitimately. But now whoever the victor may be, the spoils of war belong to that victor. So really Avram had a right to say, "It's all mine." And he says, "I want none of it. I won't take any of it." So, at the very, very least, we have to commend him for what's called the midah of histafkus. He's mistapek b'muat. He's content. "I don't need more. I have what I need. And so the spoils of war don't mean anything to me." Before you even get into, you know, why he refuses so adamantly and says, "You will not say that you made Avram wealthy," because there are two statements. First he says, "I won't take anything," and then he says, "And you will not say that you have made Avram rich." So it's really two things, and two points that he's making. So the maral in Nesiv HaSalem, Nesiv HaOysher, says, "Midas ha-histafkus hi miyuchad bo Avraham, shehoyle midas ha-histafkus." Avram was unique in that he had such a tremendous contentment, so he would be sparing. He opposed every indulgence. He would refuse even that which he really deserved to have. When he saves these kings and all of their possessions, the spoils of war belong to him. Sha'amari michut v'atzroch na'al, v'me'akach mikol asher l'cho. V'hinei lo'irotzo b'momon acher klal. Didn't want anything that was someone else's. V'hoyodai lo'i bishaloi. So that's a tremendous midah in and of itself. I have enough. I don't need more. Right? There's something, you know, something called the hedonic treadmill. You know, where a person says, "I need things," and they have a thing, and they play with it, so to speak, and enjoy it for a certain amount of time, and then somehow they need something else. They need something more. Why is that? Why do they need more? Because ultimately, happiness is not going to be achieved by things. But if you don't realize it, if you're not fully able to know yourself well enough to know how you can achieve happiness and true happiness and fulfillment, so you might try to fill a void with things. And if there are no things that really are going to make you happy, because ultimately they can't, so then you'll think, "Well, I need something else." You go on to the next thing. And that's why it's called the hedonic treadmill. Because you never get off. Because if things count that much, no matter how good you feel when you acquire them, somehow we soon feel or want, "Well, I need something else," in order to regain that euphoria, that happiness the emotion that was so positive when I first came and enjoyed the thing, but now I need something else. And this is all avoided. Avram is just, he's content. That's Midas Hestapkus. And it's a tremendous Midah. And there's more. The Mishnah in Avos, in Perek Chamishi in Avos, says that the Midas of Avram Avinu, when we are able to, we are then becoming students of Avram Avinu. Ayin Tova Ruach Nemucha Nefesh Shefala Mitalmidav Shal Avram Avinu. That's what the Mishnah says. So, in the second of those areas underlined, we understand that Avram Avinu was a Ayin Tov. He has so much kindness that he extends and looks to see and help others. That's Ayin Tov. That he was Ruach Nemucha, that he had a lowly, humble spirit. Anachi Ofer Ve'efer. He was the most humblest of men. Look at the second line underlined. Midas Nefesh Shefala. That he had modest desires. Kalemar. Shehayim Mistapik B'Shalai. He didn't want what he didn't have to have, and what he had was enough. He certainly doesn't need to see or care what others have, and then to want it. He didn't want what everyone else might think is so wonderful or what everyone else has. Not at all. That's what the Mishnah means in Avos. Having mitalmidav shel Avram Avinu. Ayin tov ruach nemucha nefesh shefala. Shehari amar imichut vatzroch na'al. Harei lechofatz b'masher ro'i lo'i. It was really coming to him. As we said, spoils of war, they're his. Michoshken shlo hechofetz mash ein ro'i lo'i. Of course, the opposite. V'hefech ze bebilam. And that's why he was constantly hearing from Balak, I'll give you more, you'll be able to receive the rewards, the treasures. I can make you rich, don't you know? Come, do what I ask of you. Put the hex on the Jewish people at my behest. I'll make it worth your while. Because that's what Bilam wanted, more. But there's much more here. Turn the page over. And we see in the Gur Aryeh, so we've seen a piece of Nesivus Olam, and now the Derech Chaim on Avos, also by the Maral, and now the Gur Aryeh, which is on Rashi and on Chumash. Rashi says, in explaining the two steps of the statement made by Avram, where he says, "Imichut v'ad tzroch na'al." V'im ekach mikol asher loch. That's statement number two. I'm not going to take from the spoils of war. I'm not going to take from anything that's yours, even from that which I did not conquer. Even that which you perhaps were able to spare. Something that was in Beis Gnazov, meaning in a treasure house that nobody ever saw. I'm not taking that from you either. And then, he adds, V'lo yisaymar ani ha'esharti yasavram. So Rashi says, because the first line of Rashi, that Avram Avinu's second statement, v'im ekach mikol asher loch, v'im tirtza loseis li schar mibeiz gnozecha, you're going to give me something that's in a storage house, something that perhaps was not carried away and that I have not taken in the battle. Lo ekach, not taking that either, says the Maral, v'im toimar. Good, look down at the Gur Aryeh. V'im tamra, v'kal v'chaymer, u'ma b'davar shezocha by Avram. If the spoils of war, which are brought back by Avram and by his Narim, they are certainly with him, they're here, they belong to him by all right. If that he's refusing to take, haynu mashe hitzil, what he reconquered and saved, shehare la'achar yishoya, it was after, it was a foregone conclusion, forfeiture had certainly meant that it became whoever could be victorious, and Avram was the victor. Lo yirtze likach, that he won't take. Kol shken mi beis gnozov, so he's certainly not going to take something that was yet in Sdom's treasure house. V'yesh lemar, v'sovar melech Sdom, v'shema lo yirtze harachush. Sdom's king might think that he doesn't want, Avram doesn't want to take anything, mipnei sheh ha'yanikur sheh ha'yashal melech Sdom. you know, it's not good PR. It doesn't look nice where everybody sees that which was once Melech Sodom, everything that was taken away from Melech Sodom, oh, now it's by Avram. Avram gained from this war. Avram may not want that. It doesn't look nice. It's not Bakovedik, as you could say, right? So Melech Sodom says, we can avoid that. I'll pay you from that which was not taken and that which was not captured from me. So it would be Melech Sodom's argument that you may not want to take what was captured from me, because it's Nikah Shehayah Shel Melech Sodom, because it's clear and known that these were my things. You know, who knows, famous icons, maybe famous images, famous, you know, all kinds of famous and well-known vessels of gold and silver that were clearly once Sodom's and Melech Sodom's, and that's why Avram doesn't want it. People will say, ah, he took it, whether he had a right to or not, but he, you know, Melech Sodom lost this stuff. And it's really with Melech Sodom's regret that Avram now has it. So maybe that's why you, Avram, don't want to take it. But if you take from what's in my treasure house, which is not known to people, nobody's going to accuse you of that. It won't look bad for you. It's not the well-known or public things that were taken and carried off by the opposing kings, by Amraphel and by Kedar Laimer. So take from what I've got yet in hidden away that people don't know about. And Avram says, I won't take michutvat srechnal from what's here. V'im ekach Mikol Asher Loch. I'll take nothing of yours. And then, now comes the ultimate. The third statement, V'loy Soymar Ani Hesharti Es Avram. You will not say, I, Melech Sodom, made Avram wealthy. What's the point? So Rashi says, Shehakadosh Baruch Hu Hiftichani L'Ashreini. Because Hashem promised to make me wealthy. See, it's not that I don't want you to be able to say that you made me wealthy. As if it's between people. You know, a person wants to say, I accomplished. It's not like he gave me, he helped me. I worked hard. I made it. I did it my way. It's not because of what someone else did for me. You didn't do it, and no one's going to say, you're not going to say you did it. Now that's not what this is all about. Avram is not saying, I'm going to protect my honor and not allow you to become honored by what I have. No, it's all about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And this is explained beautifully by the Maral. Exactly what's behind the V'loy Seymar Ani Hesharti Es Avram.
You find in the next parasha just the opposite by Abimelech and Sarah, and he gave him a ton of money.
Right? We also find he's going to ask a big kasha on Avram himself. Watch. A big kasha from Avram himself. Let's learn inside. Ki HaKadosh Baruch Hu Hivtichani, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has promised me. Perish. Loi Shehoya Avraham Makpidal Kvaydoi. This is not because he is saying, I have wealth without you, and you will not say about me that you did it for me. It's not about Avram's honor or reputation. It's not about Avram's cover or dignity. It's all about Kavod Shemayim. Everything about Avram is, we are in Hashem's world. We trust in Hashem's judgment. What we have is from Hashem. What I have is from Hashem. If he has anything from Melech Sodom, then it's not so clear that he is the one who announces to the world, what I have is only from Hashem. It has to be clear and seen by everyone. What I am is all thanks to Hashem. That's why he says, you're not going to diminish or even have the opportunity to claim that which would seemingly diminish the hand of God, the providential hand of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in what I have and in my success. V'im taimar, So what's wrong? If HaKadosh Baruch Hu has said that he's going to make Avram wealthy, maybe this is how. Maybe this is the means that he'll fight a war, he'll be very valorous and courageous and deserve and get even more than he deserves. Maybe this is how HaKadosh Baruch Hu plans on having him become wealthy. The Imloi Kain, and here's the Kasha. The Imloi Kain Harai Kibel Matanais Miparai. We read earlier that he not only received matanos from the Pharaoh when people said, oh, this is a very, very important person with a very important sister, that's who they thought Sarai was, and they proffer gifts on Avram. That's step one. And then when he left the Pharaoh, so judging from how Rashi in the Re'aim, we have an order of Rashi's in which Avram kaved ma'od b'mikna b'kesef uvazov. Rashi comments on that immediately after Vayishalchu Oisai ve'es ishto. And the Re'aim says because they didn't just send him, they sent him off with gifts that they proffered yet more wealth and honor on Avram, as the Pharaoh said, I'm sorry for what happened, for our misunderstanding, where he almost took away the wife of Avram, and sends him off with great wealth. So, well, if you don't want to take from others, how could he have accepted all of this wealth about which the Torah says, "Va'Avram kaved ma'oid ba'mikneh ba'kesef uva'zohov," asks the Maharal. From Sdom, Melech Sdom, not, but from the Pharaoh, yeah? Ela al karchach. Excuse me, I just skipped that line. V'loy Omar, ki HaKadosh Baruch Hu hiftiach ayisei la'ashra. He didn't say to the Pharaoh, sorry, you know, I have the promise of Avarechacha from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so I can't take it from you. It shouldn't be said that the Pharaoh made me rich. Why didn't he argue that way, say that, and refuse to take from the Pharaoh? Why does he take from the Pharaoh? He should have made the same argument to the Pharaoh that he makes to Melech Sdom. Ela al karchach. Zehu ha'ayisei HaKadosh Baruch Hu hiftiach la'ashra. That wealth was what was promised to Avram, as it came, where it came from, in Mitzrayim, from the Pharaoh. V'im kein lomar l'ratz l'kabel oisim y'melech stoim, v'yesh loimar, d'hocha mipnei sh'loi nosan l'melech stoim rak mipnei sh'nishbo. The king, Stoim's king, is giving him only because he was taken captive. Because he lost everything, including his own freedom, and possibly it would have eventually meant even his own life. So of course that's why Melech Sdom is giving something up that's come about through horrible circumstances, dishonorable circumstances. Loi hevi ze bechlal v'avarechacha. The bracha eina rak davar sheba mikayach bracha v'loy mikayach tzara. He, Avram, looks at this and says, this is not the blessings that HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises. That there's a war, that people are taken captive, that many die, that hordes of these enemies swoop down on us and take away wealth, and now I, in my battles, cause that shift so that I would be able to take that wealth because of the tsaris of everybody else who lost it? No. That's not bracha. Va'avarechacha means bracha. Avaparo shenosan le'lechvaydai. The earlier wealth was given to him because he had a tremendous sense of dignity about him. People wanted to make a nice offer for his sister, and they treated him with dignity, and they continue to treat him with dignity, and each one wants to be even better and nicer, and they perhaps did business with him, and so he becomes wealthy. Then when he leaves, the Pharaoh says, we want to again show you honor and apologies. So the Pharaoh willfully gives of his wealth. Zehu habracha, shehivticha yakadosh baruch hu, shehiya mechubud, ad sheyitnu hakol elav matanos. That's how he means to see Avram become wealthy. Hashem means to see Avram become wealthy through bracha, not through bloodshed, war, klala. That's a concept we see again and again. That once someone is in the category of klala, they are not going to be in the category of bracha. What does Eliezer Eved Avram want? He wants to have his daughter marry Yitzchak. That's what he's hoping for. In Parshas Chayisara, we'll read about it. And the Rashi mentions it. And Avram says, sorry, you're descendant of Chum and the curse that was said by Noach is upon you, and it's impossible. And Ein Brocha Mizdabek Baklola, the person who's blessed can't be wed to the one who is cursed. It's just not possible. There's no Brocha to be found where Klola, God forbid, is inherent. It's true, the Pharaoh also had Sarah. He tried to have Sarah. He had Sarah with a tzadi. He had pain and affliction. But trying to make amends, that's not Klola. He's trying to be forgiven and trying to show respect to Avram. Aval ba'elu malachim she'nishbu b'melchama le'nikra ze brocha im hoya mekabel mehem. To take the spoils of war after all of that which had transpired, after the losses of life and limb, let alone of wealth, and now he's going to benefit? That's where God's blessings come from? I think not, says Avraham Avinu. So Avraham Avinu now is not just someone who's content. It's not just someone who has his stapkus b'muat and says, I don't need. And it's not just that he says, I don't want to take from you. And it's not even only that he says, it has to be from Hashem. I want only what Hashem will provide. He is wise enough even to know that real bracha comes from circumstances that are good for man, and that are honorable for man, where Kavod Shemayim has been enhanced. And there, if there's bracha to be had, that's where HaKadosh Baruch Hu will proffer bracha and give me wealth if he so decides, if Hashem wants it to be that way. But not from tzar, and not from painful circumstances. And that's a lesson that we have to take in, because there are so many times where people have opportunities, but they are opportunities that are really at someone else's loss. Sometimes even severe loss. And we have to know, maybe that's not where we want to make our bracha in here. Maybe that's an opportunity for someone else. I once heard a fantastic story that was told by no less than the Rosh Yeshiva, Yeshiva's Torah V'das, by Rav Avram Pam. He was a young boy, and his father found a $5 bill. This is in the 1940s. $5 in the 1940s is a lot of money. A lot of money. And it was, you know, something really special. And he said, I will eventually have maybe for Shabbos something special. We'll use the money. But he put it in a jar and put it on top of a shelf and left it there first for a few weeks. And the children asked him why. He says, I don't want to use it. I won't use it at all. While the pain of the loss, whoever lost it, it hurts them a little bit. I don't want to use it while it's someone else's pain to have lost those $5. So that's the idea. The idea is that we have to be sensitive to know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world. And that's why sometimes when we have to be too aggressive in order to accomplish something for the sake of parnasa, we should take a step away and say, wait a minute. Is this the way bracha comes to us? It doesn't mean we don't work hard. But there's a level of trust and a level of bitachon where you step over that line and you realize there's something here. It doesn't have to be chalila that it's not kosher, that it's illegal, or that it's kineged halacha. But there's something that maybe involves something that's hurtful to someone else. And at that point you say, that's not where bracha inheres, and that's not where bracha will come from. And that was Avraham Avinu. And that's why he says, the Maral, from Paroi, in circumstances where he's being honored, fine. But in circumstances where others have gone through excruciating pain, and where the belligerence, where the violence of the war is the reason for him to have this, the treasures in front of him, that's not Vavarach. May HaKadosh Baruch Hu bless us to know and understand and see the many blessings that he can and will proffer. And may they be always, not in sorrow, but always in times that are good, in times that are uplifting for us and the people around us and the people with whom we're doing business and with whom we're hopefully benefiting together. It should be in the spirit, truly, of what was said to Avraham Avinu, Vavarechach.